Chapter 19. Tom discovers the truth. For the whole year that Maggie had been meeting Philip in the Red Deeps, she had been afraid of her father or Tom coming across them by accident. But in fact, their secret meetings were discovered in a completely different way. It was one Sunday when Mr. and Mrs. Glegg had come to lunch.
"You look very well, Maggie," said Mrs. Glegg. "I never thought, Bessie, that your daughter would grow up to be so good-looking."
"It's a pity she can't have nice clothes like her cousin Lucy,"
said Mrs. Tulliver.
"Nice clothes make all the difference in a girl's beauty."
"They say that Lucy is the prettiest girl in St. Ogg's,"
said Mr. Glegg.
"And Dean is doing so well that he can buy her all the nice clothes she wants." "She might be pretty,"
said Mr. Tulliver,
"but she's too small. I don't admire small women. They look silly by the side of men. When I chose my wife, I chose her just the right size, neither too little nor too big."
Poor Mrs. Tulliver, who now looked very old and worn, smiled complacently.
"Big or little is not the important thing," said Mrs. Glegg. "The important thing is that they are healthy and well-made. Not like Wakeham's son, poor boy. It's painful to look at him."
"And when do you have to look at him, Mrs. Glegg?"
said her husband, smiling and winking at the others.
"I see him often enough," said Mrs. Glegg, "coming out of the Red Deeps just across the road from our house. Goodness knows what he's doing there. They say he's an unfriendly, solitary kind of boy. I suppose he goes there to walk on his own in the woods."
Maggie blushed red and felt her hands trembling. Tom was sitting opposite her at the table. When she looked up at him, he looked away. Maggie was sure that Tom had seen her agitation, but she hoped that he would think that she was just worried that the mention of Wakeham's name would upset her father. Tom, however, had seen clearly that the cause of Maggie's distress was something deeper. He remembered hearing his mother complain that Maggie was always dirtying her boots on her walks in the Red Deeps, and he began to suspect. But he could not believe that Maggie was in love with Philip. He had always felt repulsion for Philip's deformity, and he could not imagine any woman falling in love with him. Even if it were only friendship, it must be stopped immediately. She was disobeying her father and her brother, and she was risking her reputation by meeting Philip in secret. The next day, at the warehouse, Tom saw Philip walking on the other side of the river, going towards the Red Deeps. He told the manager that he had to leave on urgent family business and set off home by the quickest way. Just as he got to the house, he saw Maggie coming out of the door.
"Tom, why have you come home?"
she asked in a tremulous voice.
"I've come to walk with you in the Red Deeps and meet Philip Wakeham."
Maggie stood helpless, pale and cold. At last she said,
"I'm not going."
"Yes, you are,"
said Tom, and he took her arm and started walking rapidly down the path.
"How long have you been meeting Philip Wakeham?"
"A year."
"And what has happened between you?"
"We have been friends. He lent me books."
"Is that all?"
demanded Tom.
"No,"
said Maggie.
"On Saturday he told me that he loved me. I didn't think of it before then. I had only thought of him as an old friend."
"And what did you say?"
asked Tom, with an expression of disgust.
"I told him that I loved him too."
Tom was silent for a few moments, looking at the ground and frowning, with his hands in his pockets. At last, he looked up and said coldly,
"Now, Maggie, there are two things you can do. Either you swear to me that you will never see Philip Wakeham again, or you refuse, and I tell Father everything. I have been working hard and saving money to pay Father's debts so that our family can be respected again. And all the time, you have been doing things that will drive Father mad with anger. Now I have the money to pay the debts, and I hoped our father would be happy again before he dies. You have to choose, Maggie. Choose!
Do you really have the money to pay the debts?
Cried Maggie, feeling a moment of joy in the midst of all her sorrow.
Yes.
I was wrong to do it, Tom,
said Maggie.
But I was so lonely, and Philip was unhappy. I promised not to see him again.
They walked along quickly and in silence. Maggie was thinking of all the pain Philip would feel, and she was afraid of the harsh words Tom would say to him. They entered the Red Deeps and passed among the great fir trees. In the distance, they saw Philip sitting on the fallen tree. Philip saw them coming and stood up. For a horrible moment, Maggie imagined her tall, strong brother grasping the feeble Philip, crushing him and trampling on him.
What do you mean, sir?
Began Tom in an angry voice.
By taking advantage of a young girl's foolishness.
I didn't take advantage,
cried Philip.
I would never do anything that would make your sister unhappy. I love her more than you do.
Do you mean to say that you didn't know that meeting you here could ruin her reputation?
Asked Tom scornfully.
You had no right to tell her you loved her, even if you had been a fit husband for her, because neither your father nor hers would ever agree to a marriage between you. How dare you, you, worm your way into the affections of a handsome girl not yet 18 years old, who has been shut out of the world by her father's misfortunes.
You are incapable of understanding what I feel for your sister,
said Philip bitterly.
I feel so much for her that I even want to be friends with you.
I don't want to understand your feelings,
said Tom.
I want you to understand that I shall take care of my sister, and if you come near her again, your miserable, deformed body will not protect you. I shall thrash you, sir, and everyone will laugh at you. Who would not laugh at the idea of you as the lover of a fine girl?
Tom, stop!
Cried Maggie.
Wait, Maggie,
said Philip. Then he turned to Tom.
I suppose you have dragged your sister here so that she can watch you threaten and insult me. But let her speak. If she says we must part, I will obey her.
It is for my father's sake, Philip,
cried Maggie.
Tom says he will tell my father, and he couldn't bear it. I have promised Tom that I will never see you again.
All right,
said Philip.
My feelings won't change. I want you to know that. But consider yourself entirely free. I only want what is good for you.
Tom grasped Maggie's arm and hurried away. When they were out of the woods, Maggie pulled herself away from Tom and stopped.
Don't suppose that I think you are right, Tom,
she said bitterly.
I hate the way you spoke to Philip. How dare you say those things about his deformity? You have criticised other people all your life. You have always been sure that you yourself were right. It is because your mind is not large enough to see anything better than your own petty aims.
I don't think you have acted better than I have,
said Tom coldly.
I know what my aims were, and I have succeeded in them. What were your aims? And what good have they brought to you or anyone else?
I know I have often been wrong, Tom. But sometimes, when I have been wrong, it was because I have feelings that you have never had. If you had done anything wrong, I would be sorry for the pain it caused you. I wouldn't enjoy seeing you punished.
If your feelings are so fine,
said Tom sarcastically,
why not show them in a way that will not bring disgrace on the family? I have shown my feelings in a very different way, by working to pay off father's debts.
Because you are a man and have power and can do something to change the world.
Well, if you can do nothing, you should obey those who can,
said Tom.
I will obey what I feel to be right. I will even obey what I feel to be wrong if the order comes from my father, but not from you, Tom. I will not give up Philip Wakeham in obedience to you. Your insults to his deformity make me want to take care of him even more.
All right, Maggie. I see now how much we disagree. Let's remember that in future. And be silent,
said Tom, more coldly than ever. He went back to St. Ogg's and his work. Maggie went to her room and wept. Then she started to think of the quiet time before she had first met Philip in the Red Deeps. If she had thought that she was entirely wrong and that Tom was entirely right, it would have been easier for her. It pained her to think of Philip and of the insulting things that Tom had said to him. And yet she felt a kind of relief as well. Why was that? She wondered. Surely it was only because she had no secrets from her family now.